Emily looks over at KT, who, before she fell asleep, put on earphones and listened to classical music that was so loud that Emily could hear it across the room. Emily should be sleeping, too. It is 5 o'clock in the morning, and in 3 hours, after a special assembly celebrating the life of Martin Luther King Jr., she'll stand face to face with her first day of classes. If Emily had to tell somebody what happened in the Grenfell County High School library, where would she begin? How desperate did Paul have to be to do what he did? Emily will never understand it. Never. Didn't he realize that when he pulled the trigger, the world would go on without him in it? Didn't he know that dead, he'd be nowhere? Emily puts her head down on her desk, on top of the poem she has written, and closes her eyes. As she has done for 34 nights, she tries to read past the dark, read into Paul. There was little crime in Grenfell County with its spread-out landscape. The most violent thing ever to happen in the history of Grenfell County had happened at the high school to which she will never return. The day after she and her parents arrived in Boston, Aunt Cindy quietly suggested, over chicken pot pie, that they find Emily a boarding school, maybe even one in Massachusetts, where she could finish out her junior year. Emily's parents agreed. It was not a good idea for Emily to have to go back home and deal with the whispers and stares and, of course, the memories. Emily was stunned. It was straight out of the Brothers Grimm. Boarding school? Only orphans and screw-ups and spoiled rich girls went to boarding school. She would be despised there, made fun of. She would become the butt of every joke ever told. So Emily pitched a fit, which had no effect. She jumped around the dining room and kicked the couch in the den and slung all of the magazines on Aunt Cindy's coffee table across the room. She told her aunt and her parents that they were evil. When she told them she hated them, they stared back at her, stone-faced. For a month, Emily stayed with Aunt Cindy, who oversaw Emily's recovery by renting movies on a theme. The first trip to Blockbuster, they rented films set in Paris, Emily's choice. The next time, Aunt Cindy chose films about high school. "You haven't lived until you've seen The Breakfast Club," Aunt Cindy said. The movie was about five high school types who don't even know each other very well and get stuck together in Saturday detention in their library. Emily shook her head. "Is it really a good idea for me to watch something that takes place in a school library?" "Emily," said Aunt Cindy, "you're 17 years old. I think you're smart enough by now to separate fact from fiction." That's the thing, though. Emily isn't so sure. A story gets told one too many times and facts melt away like pats of butter. Case in point, not even 48 hours after Paul died, people in Grenfell County were saying that he had tried to use Mr. Jim, the one-armed janitor, as target practice, when the truth was that the two of them had simply passed each other in the hall as Paul made his way to the library. Another case in point. A new girl shows up at the Amherst School for Girls after the holiday break, and rumor has it that this new girl got into major trouble at her old school. Why else would she materialize midway through her junior year at a place where she has no friends, no connections, no legacy? Emily and Aunt Cindy sat on the couch biding time until Christmas was past and the new year was underway, eating popcorn and watching stupid high school movies about nerds who prevail or virgins who succumb. Before Boston, before ASG, Emily had wanted nothing more than to be loved by a boy. When she was 14, 15, 16, she had watched girls on the cheerleading squad sprout wings with each boyfriend. They became more beautiful, the beauty of confidence. For 4 months, Emily had it too. But here, at ASG, she is surrounded by girls more self-assured than she. Clean-looking girls who sleep next to photographs of their boyfriends and talk to them daily on the phone in the hall. boys are kept at a safe distance. The girl who gave Emily and her parents the campus tour was quick to point out that there are dances nearly every weekend with boys' schools in the area. But Emily wants nothing to do with boys or dances. She wants nothing to do with poems either. But in the long shadow of death, they creep in.